The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Just before our Savior died on the cross, he spoke those words which the bystanders no doubt understood as an admission of defeat, but which were, in fact, his cry of victory. "It is finished," meaning it is accomplished, it is completed. And if we ask what is finished, what is completed? The answer is this: his work of perfect love for his Father, his work of perfect love for this lost and fallen world. That Jesus lived a life of perfect love for his Father is seen in his perfect obedience to the Father's will, humbling himself even to the death of the cross. That Jesus lived a life of perfect love for this lost and fallen world is seen in the way he prayed, even for those who had brought him to this cruel death. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A life of perfect love for the Father, a life of perfect love for this lost and fallen world. This is what is finished, accomplished, completed, as the Lord Jesus bows his head and dies. Now, on these Lenten evenings this year, we are meditating on the Ten Commandments in the light of Jesus' passion and death. You remember that when Jesus was asked, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In these words, Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments. The first three require love for God. The remaining seven require love for the human beings God has placed in our lives. And even these last seven commandments also have to do with loving God. For since these last seven are also given by God, fulfilling them, keeping them, not disobeying them, in fact expresses love for God. This evening we think briefly about the third and the fourth commandments. The third commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And you may remember that in his catechism, Dr. Luther explains it this way: we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. As the obedient Son of the Father, Jesus truly lived from the written word of God. When tempted in the wilderness, he defeated Satan with these words of God: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And as our Savior lived, he also died, for as his life drew to its close, the word of God was on his lips. For on the cross he prayed in the words of the 22nd Psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And from the words of the 31st Psalm, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And Jesus not only prayed to the Father, in the most real sense, Jesus' whole life was prayer, communion with the Father, and in that way, perfect love for him. The fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. And in the Catechism, we learn that this means we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. In his Gospel, St. John, the beloved disciple, tells us that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Both John and our Lord's mother stood by Jesus' cross. And as he hangs dying on the cross, he says to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and he says to John, "Behold your mother." And here we see how, loving his mother, Jesus entrusts her to the care of John, the beloved disciple. And in this we see an example of that love for parents which God requires of us all. The dying Lord provides a home for the mother who bore him and loved him and cared for him. But from the cross, our Lord not only provides a home for his mother, in a deeper sense, he provides a home for every lost and lonely child of Adam's fallen race, by bringing us into that holy family, his one holy church, gathered by the blood and the water which flowed from his pierced side as he handed over the Spirit. The water of baptism, the blood of the Holy Sacrament, and through them both, the gift of the Holy Spirit. In that wonderful 68th Psalm, which sings of the progress of the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, the psalmist sings, "A father of the fatherless and defender of the widow is God in his holy habitation. He is the God who sets the solitary in families." The God who sets the solitary in families. And how does he do that? He does that through that crucified body once born of Mary, through which he gathers us into his mystical body, the church, the whole company of all faithful people in heaven and on earth. In his death, Jesus not only provides a home for his mother, but also an eternal home for every human being his love has called into being. And by his mercy, through our baptism, you and I are already members of that blessed company of all faithful people, called to welcome into this same family everyone God's love has called into being. St. John wrote, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So may we then take to heart all that we have been shown from God's Word, so that together with Christ's Blessed Mother and all the saints, we may forever rejoice in the unveiled presence of Him who died but is alive forevermore and has in His hands the keys of death and the grave. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.